B62. Number 4A.
Yes. Well, we started yesterday by seeing that the age in which we live demands a very decisive change in consciousness, a decisive change in outlook, a decisive change in what we are driving for and aiming at, so that the great quality is needed to be able to change our traditional view, and that is not always easy. And we have seen that we have to go out from the whole, that this is demanded today of us, from the one infinite, because from the one infinite comes then one principle and the infinite idea, and with that idea comes laws and rules and demonstration of that idea. So it isn't just that we must have what is falsely called just a new theory, but also all the implications that would follow out of this new so-called theory. I prefer to call it principle, that we have different attitudes towards principle and go out from principle. In order to be able to interpret the universe aright, to interpret not only the individual mission of each one aright, but also the collective demonstration that is needed and the universal aim that is in view and must be achieved. So we saw yesterday that we have a guiding line for what has to be changed. If we take the 7,000 year period and ask ourselves what is the relationship between reality, namely that which is, and how that reality is symbolized to us, to the human mind, so to say, so that we can grasp that reality. So reality itself does not change through the 7,000 years. It remains what it is. It's always a reality. But what changes is the way how we approach that reality, how we can become at one with that reality in our understanding. Okay, up to this point. So we must see that reality does not change. That is not the question. The question is, what kind of consciousness do we have to formulate and have it to culture in order that we are more transparent for that reality, so that finally reality and consciousness is one, that there are no more two things, reality and our understanding of reality. As reality does not change, therefore our understanding of reality has to change. And the way it changes is, as we have seen up to yesterday, illustrated in the way we approach that reality. We have taken two views at it, namely how we deal with those two books, the Bible and the textbook, which contain the teaching of reality, because both these books we accept as revelations of God Himself, or God itself. More I like to call Him an it than a he, which is right. So that we go out first from the fact, or even from the axiom, that the Bible and the textbook actually contain a pure revelation of God, that there is nothing humanly conceived about these two books. That axiom, that or hypothesis, we have to take for granted, or we cannot work on a sure foundation or on a definite foundation. If that is granted, that God was speaking through those patriarchs and the prophets and Jesus in the Bible, and that God was dictating the textbook to Mrs. Eddy, so we feel that we have two books in front of us which symbolize God and God's nature and reality. Therefore, the question has always been, how can we understand these two books so that we really see in those books that which God intended to show us, and not that which our human blurred mind perceives in it. So yesterday we have seen that the Bible can be read with quite different frames of consciousness, either with the frame of consciousness of the 4,000, the 5,000, the 6,000, the 7,000 year period. It's always the same text, but every time we see something higher, something more profound, something deeper, and with every step something more simple. Then we have taken the other revealed book, namely Science and Health, and have seen how can we approach that book in order to interpret the symbolism of the books so that we can see reality. Again, I would like to take other aspects with that frame of consciousness and consider other aspects which are so important for our lives. The next one is, now, what actually is the purpose of understanding? So I want with you to consider how the purpose of understanding changes according to the frame of consciousness with which we investigate that problem. We all know that we should understand those two books, that only an understanding of those two books would reveal what the books contain. And so we must analyze what on earth do we actually attain in understanding when we read it, say, through the frame of reference of the 4,000 year period. So I start again with the 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 year period. What on earth can we understand as really the best for that period if we approach it with a consciousness today which says, I have the consciousness of the 4,000 year period, and therefore what kind of understanding do I get? Now, just think a little bit. If you go out, if you begin to reason again scientifically, you say, well, the point is, in the 4,000-year period, that the prophets were showing that behind phenomena, things and happenings were ideas. Therefore, what was the problem? We could see that the problem was that they introduced really a metaphysical aspect. It was parallel to the Greek world of Plato, to see that the things as they appear are not reality, that they are a shadow world of something else, that which lies beyond the phenomena, namely ideas. Therefore, if we approach the Bible and the textbook only with that kind of consciousness, then we see that the purpose of understanding will be to understand the universe as what? A universe of ideas. So that is what we are driving at. And we know that even today, in our period, most students will be quite happy if they can translate really the objects of sense for the ideas and think that the purpose of understanding is to understand a universe of ideas. Is that clear? This universe of ideas is a universe that has a lot of isolated ideas. It consists of isolated ideas. Why do I say that? You know, when I say things, I should be able to deduce it scientifically, not just to make statements. What is the process that we do in the 4,000 year period? We go out from phenomena. Didn't he say? And said that behind phenomena, things and people and history and natural experience and so on, that behind them are ideas. We reason from things to ideas. And now I said, but they are isolated ideas. Why are they isolated ideas? Yes?
But you're reasoning from the phenomena to the idea, and the phenomena is in the plural, would be isolated. Instead of reasoning, you'd like to go to the seventh, instead of reasoning from the whole.
Yeah. You go out from the phenomena, you say they are in the plural. Well, ideas are also in the plural, but you meant something right. You see, the phenomena have no science, have no system. You go out from isolated, because you go out from isolated phenomena and try to see the idea behind isolated phenomena, naturally you get also a universe of isolated ideas that are in no way connected with each other. Yeah. So because that the phenomena are isolated, the ideas are isolated. This we say in a very practical way, not in a very, in the way of physics. Right? Physics naturally would say, well, all the material things have some kind of relationship and are combined in the science of physics, but we are thinking back to the 4,000 year period where there was no science of physics. And we go right back to the practical side and say, what do we do today as students of metaphysics? What do? We actually do that we come across a situation, that we come across a problem. Whatever that problem is, it's an isolated problem presenting itself to us. I have some kind of a disease, my stomach doesn't work, my heart doesn't work, I have problem with the business, I have no money, I have no supply, this and that. You see, these are isolated phenomena presented to our consciousness, and if the purpose of understanding of Christian Science is limited to that very limited field of translating, or perhaps even not translating, but of seeing ideas behind every false manifestation, or must not be even a false, but phenomena, then I have a very isolated, atomistic concept of a universe of ideas. That clear? And this is, as we could say, the general sense in the Christian Science field. That's what it's all about, what students in the field are interested in. That whenever something presents itself to them, that they say, oh golly, I'm a metaphysician, I must not take these things as things, they are not reality. Behind these things lies an idea. And so they try to find out what the idea is. Yes. So, with that kind of frame of consciousness, we just build up a metaphysical universe of isolated ideas. Well, that's one step better than to have a world of evil and a world of things and so on, of matter and being, persons and so on. It's a step better. But if we are asking ourselves, is that really the optimum that we can attain? We feel, no, this is actually not really the optimum. Just always first to go out from matter, from evil, and then to arrive at truth. What about when we have the shift to the 5,000-year period? What is there really the main concern in regard to understanding? Now, how would you reason again if you reason scientifically? Huh? You start out with what? You start out with what? Beg your pardon?
Phenomena.
No. Is that the 5,000-year period?
With the, well, it's the development of phenomena in the 5,000-year period.
No. Did we say that? We didn't say a thing of that.
With Jesus?
Yeah, with Jesus. What did we say there?
The man identifying himself with the idea.
The man, yes. Yeah, what you said. See, we said there is the relationship that reality, or the idea, is one, huh, with Jesus, or with man, or with the mortal. Huh? Jesus said, I am Jesus, but I am the Christ. So we, can you see, you must start out to think simple. Don't be so damn complicated. You must always go from the fundamental that you have once gained. Go out always from there. And not try to elaborate that. Or else we go already out from a diffuse concept. If you see in the 5,000 year that there the fundamental proposition is that the idea of reality is one with the symbol of that reality, Jesus, we have that unity of the idea with man. See? And now you say, now, what if you look at it from the point of view of the purpose of understanding, what therefore would be that purpose of understanding? What was so characteristic in Jesus' life in regard to that, in regard to understanding?
So that he had control then, he dominated the material.
Yeah, he dominated the material with ideas, huh? Yeah.
I still have this question. the 4,000-year period in regard to understanding, would you say that is on the level of Christian science?
We don't talk about levels now, just about the 7,000.
Would you say it was on the level of Christian science? You wouldn't.
No.
No, it isn't.
No.
Okay,
thanks. So, again, you see, don't mix categories. If we are talking, say, first about the 7,000-year period, then you are not talking about the levels, the four levels. Though at one point we may see that they intertwine. But in order for us to get one category right, you see, I'm so dumb, actually. You know, I always feel when I hear you, I'm absolutely dumb. I'm so simple that I always are quite happy with repeating and going over the same old fundamental things. And it doesn't occur to go too far in one step. But we'll see how, actually, afterwards, categories can blend. But you see, it's a great value to stay with one category and stay with it and think it out until that category just becomes spiritually tangible, concrete, that you see how it crystallizes very clearly in your mind so that it is tangible to consciousness. Okay, we go back.
I have to ask you a question about articulating here, because so that I can clarify my own presentation of this. That when we're looking from the 4,000-year period at the idea behind the phenomena, we're still dealing scientifically with phenomena. Is that correct?
In the 4,000?
Yes. We're always actually specifically translating phenomena back to noumena.
Yeah.
All right. So that what I was implying, and I want to correct it, that in the 5,000-year period, the idea behind the phenomena was Jesus, because he was the phenomena of the idea.
No? Yeah. But that is not the proposition of the 5,000, what you say would be a proposition of the 4,000. That you can also translate the mortal and see what is behind the mortal. You say the true idea man is behind it. Whereas the 5,000-year period, we have seen the unity of the idea with the symbol called man, body, the mortal, to show, as Dorothy said, to show that the idea that has now been seen in the 4,000-year period is now in the 5,000-year period to be understood as being that which deals with the mortal, with the opposite. Because what did the Christ do with Jesus? The Christ did not make Jesus the bigger mortal, but the Christ did dominate the mortal, did govern the mortal, did the mortal set right until it began to disappear and has nothing to say anymore. So it is showing really that when we arrive at ideas in the 4,000-year period, that in the 5,000-year period we can now go a step further and say our understanding is all concerned about how ideas resolve illusions. That they have a unity, that they are not two separate worlds, but that ideas have within themselves that Christ power, that Christ understanding, how to resolve beliefs or illusions. This is another great big aspect, really, of the purpose of understanding. That you say, I want to understand ideas, not because, as in the 4,000-year period, I want to exchange things for ideas, but for a purpose. The purpose is that I can understand how ideas resolve illusions. Great point in the science of Christian Science.
Could you say that Jesus, the symbol, identified himself with the reality?
Yes, sure. Oh, yeah, sure. Yes, yes.
So, as you identify with reality, the mortal automatically drops away?
Yes, yes. And now, that's fine. Now we are asking, in which way does that now change the purpose of understanding? See, what you said is the main tone of the 5,000-year period, yes? And now we say, now, what should we drive at with our study? What is the purpose of our study? And it is that shows, if I can see an idea about something that is wrong, then I can heal that something. So I have to know really how ideas resolve illusions. For instance, we had that very much so in the 10th chapter of the textbook, and the first part of where it just was always shown how ideas resolve illusions. And that is not just a statement. See, we saw there that this is not just a statement that says, well, ideas resolve illusions, that's a very great generalization, but the textbook shows how that is done. If you remember, the subtones of that chapter had always the same law in it and showed how through the 7 subtones it is stated very clearly and reasonably how ideas resolve illusions. So we cannot just always have these blunt statements which are true, but which have no truth content. Oh, I said something and you get... all right, I repeat it, huh? Yes. Though this applies to everything and not just now to this, but I said the following thing. I said, there are such blunt statements like ideas resolve illusions. That's the 5,000-year touch of understanding. But I said, we cannot be satisfied with just stating this. Though this is true, though it is true, it does not mean much. It is not just a scientific truth. Why? Why is such statement not yet a scientific truth?
Well, it doesn't explain why.
It does not say why. It has within itself not an order or a structure that says what this means. See, this think of Popper. I think he really gave the simplest illustration. You know, Popper, the great European philosopher, he said, every dumbbell can state a great truth, but it is never per se a scientific truth. Everyone can say, it will rain, and he is right. He says, if you say a truth which says, it will rain, this is a truth that nobody can counterproof, give a counterproof. It's true, but it has no truth content. Why has it not the truth content? Because there is no relation, there are no subcategories in it, no categories in it, no relationship in it. It does not say when it will rain, if it is will rain in 2 or 3 years in the desert, or if it will rain the next moment when you go out without an umbrella. It does not say where it will rain. It does not say how much it will rain, just a little few drops, or if it's a real heavy rain. You see, to say it will rain becomes, you have to intertwine, can you say, interweave into this statement categories. And with every new category you interweave into it, you build into it, your statement will be more exact. Until finally you really can say, I can say, well, tomorrow at 5 o'clock in Los Angeles or in Whittier, hopefully it will